Okay, boys and girls, we're going to try the area fishing report. We have Fish and Frank in the chair here, and I think, well, I had to put a new microphone on here, and then I had to spray a whole bunch of Gitsum into some of the controls. I guess everything was getting a little corroded up being here in the bait shops. Probably not the best place to, you know, keep electronic equipment. Anyway, Fish and Frank and Chair, Robert and Chair across from me, and Captain Carl in the guest seat for our area fishing report. So, it's, I'm not sure. Now, you know, we take a look at what the weather's been doing here over the last few weeks. Isn't that something? How the weather's been kind of stabilizing in a way. I mean, it's either a rainy day or a pretty nice day.
Right.
Now, with the winds over the last few days have been a real problem, haven't they?
Yes. It's been very choppy out there.
So, you had somebody that called you up, said, I want to go, Captain Carl, whether it's raining or snowing or blowing or whatever.
As long as it's not lightning.
Okay.
I don't do electricity.
But isn't that what the guy said?
Yeah.
He called you up and said, I don't care what the weather's doing, I want to go fishing.
Yep.
How did it work out?
And we caught a lot of fish these past 4 days. You know, we caught a lot of sharks. For the most part, a lot of the sharks were on the smaller side, you know, 4 or 5 foot. Mm. We did get a
but
lot
even
of,
with the wind and everything else? Was
yep. I mean, the bigger sharks weren't cooperating as well, but I mean, I don't know if that had something to do with it, all the wind and weather we've been having with the bigger sharks, but the little sharks, they're going off right now. The Goliath.
How about anything on the flats? Anything catching any kind of fish out there?
The east wall right before Pirate Harbor is full of trout.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. I was just kind of wondering in general how it was going.
Flats are doing good. Redfish, snook. I mean, all the fish are doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of mixed reports on that too.
Okay. So. Well, I guess we can start the report then.
How about the water height? What'd the river do?
Okay, well, we're actually on the Peace River, so let's see, fishandfranks.com, and go scroll down, get the stormy icon, weather and tides, go to the bottom of the page, click Peace River, and come on, pretend you're a computer, there you go, let's see, as of the 31st of July, we were down to 6 foot, and now we're at 11 foot.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, I think so, you were hoping for it to go the other way.
I just didn't see that much rain inland.
On the 28th, it was at 8 foot. By the 31st, it had dropped down to a little less than 6 foot. And then we've been gaining a foot a day since then. And it's crested at 11 foot, and it's on its the graph is showing it's starting to go down now.
That explains some of the weird fork or weird fishing reports we've gotten.
Yeah, in 1960 was the heaviest flow at 17,400 cubic feet a second, and the average is at 18, and we're at 3,830 cubic feet per wow. second, so we're about almost twice the normal, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we're running about twice as high as normal. So anyway, that's what we got off the chart. So that probably explains why the report's going to be the way it is on the Peace River. I don't have any reports off the river.
Neither do I, except for a couple Mayan cichlids that a couple guys have been catching off their dock.
I've been hearing about a few snook sitting up at the dam.
Any size to them?
A couple of them that my buddy's been getting are pretty big. The rest of them are small. And he's just in there throwing
Mayan again.
Mayan.
Alright. And snook at Sansuchi, or at the Punta Gorda Dam, right?
Yes.
What's he using?
Storm paddle tails, the Savage swim baits, and ladyfish.
So he's targeting big fish, hoping.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to Matt Haig. I posted a show with Matt just a little while ago, and He's saying come around October, go down to Coosahatchee and find some monster fish. So I'm kind of excited about going down and seeing Matt and doing some of that.
There it is, big fish down there right now.
Yeah. 41 Bridge, Captain Carl of KV Backcountry Charters. What do you got for the information on the 41 Bridge?
For the most part, all I'm getting up there is black drum right now. Quite a few black drum, but other than that, it's been very slow.
Yeah, I'm kind of hearing the same general stuff. The only thing I did hear a little differently was 2 days ago that there was some juvenile tarpon right there by the new park there, rolling around. Nobody was hooking any, but they were watching some fish move around in the morning.
Okay, and that's... Oh, there we go. Take us over to Lashley Pier. Anything at Lashley Pier?
I have not gotten anything this week from them, unfortunately.
Yeah. Kind of same thoughts. Let's see. Bayshore Pier, sponsored by Centennial Bank. I mean, I don't think you go to Centennial, do you, Carl?
Nope.
No. But don't worry, one day you'll wise up. You'll get there with the rest of us. I told Robert he wanted to open. He was had to do a new account. I said, just come on. And I drove him over there, and you spend 2 minutes in there, and you're just like opening your accounts.
Yep.
Wow.
Amazing, amazing people.
Yeah. They're going to be with us helping take over a lot of the cash register stuff at the tent sale next. That's March 24th. And then at the new product showcase, July 28th of next year. Centennial's getting real involved in a lot of that. They have a lot of fun. The people there fish. They have a good time. And
they're just good people all the way around.
It's just hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, bank so where you helpful. Actually go in and enjoy going into bank. It's been a long time since that happened. So anyway, Bayshore Pier, they're on Bayshore Road, so hey, it's a natural, right?
Yep, it's a good blend.
Yeah, they're Bayshore Road, their Bayshore Piers are right there, so hey, you know,
put work
Centennial there. So anyway, what do we got on Bayshore Pier? Anything?
I've heard of a couple juvenile bull sharks this week, but that's it. Been kind of quiet.
Little bull sharks and a few snook early in the morning. Smaller ones.
All right.
Catching those on anything particular that you heard?
Top water.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, fishing right there. Yeah. That's super skinny water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen some guys wade fishing over there a few different times lately. Saw one guy on a paddle board. I think it was last Sunday morning with a fly rod. I'm like, that's interesting.
Actually, that was fun.
I mean, the good news is if he fell off, he's going to fall into 2 feet of water right there where he was at. But
that's the thing about it. People forget. Paddleboarding, water skiing, all that is way more dangerous in shallow water than it is in deep water.
Yeah.
You fall in deep water, you don't hurt yourself. You go splash, you get back on the board. Yeah. You fall in shallow water.
I break your neck.
Oh, man. I'm telling you what. I used to do a lot of windboarding and stuff. And the first thing you learn is shallow water hurts.
Yeah.
That's just the way that goes. Whereas deep water, we'd be doing, I guess we were crazy, but we used to get on those surfboards with the sails on them, the windboards, and before they had the parachute style. Mm. But when the tropical storms would come through, we'd go surf the tropical storms. I mean, you're doing 50, 60 plus miles an hour on a surfboard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I told you I used to be a little different than I am now. I think it was the hair. Yeah. All right. Port Charlotte Canal System, sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. What can you say about Ray Smith? Except if you're doing excavating, dirt work, you know, underground stuff like that, you don't hire Ray Smith, you're goofy. Yeah.
Right.
He's a good guy.
I agree with
so,
that.
So, anyway, what is Ray sponsoring as far as the canals?
I've been getting some mixed reports of the smaller black drum. You know, Chuck, Custom Carpentry, he's been whacking a lot of good small ones, that 16 to 24 inch range, along with several other customers. Quite a few customers coming in and talking about the sand bream that they're catching, because most of them aren't sure what they are. And then there has been a few jacks coming through my canal periodically. So there's been a little bit of stuff going on.
Been hearing about a lot of juvenile tarpon.
Except for today.
Yeah. They weren't anywhere today.
All right. Did one of you guys go out specifically looking for tarpon or something? I mean, there's this inside giggling here.
Carl was looking for tarpon today, and they all played a disappearing act. But then he talked to Jimmy Willis. You know, I had a customer come in that was in this out this morning, and he didn't find any. So, just weird.
So Carl doesn't suck. It was just a weird day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, just making sure, you know, you never know.
He even went into the turnaround basin there in PGI, and you can go in there 20 or 30 times, and maybe one of those trips you might not see a tarpon in there. Well, today was that day.
I've been in there many times and not seen tarpon, so I'm going to disagree with that.
I don't catch them hardly ever in there, but there's very seldom do you not go in there and see some.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's, you at least you... The blind guy gets to see him. I go in there, I don't even get to see him.
All right.
So I'm not sure. Is this the figment of his tarpon imagination?
No, he agrees with me because he does that for the Hail Mary, too, because it's at least one of the places where you can go.
I didn't say I didn't Hail Mary that place. I just said, I'm opposing the viewpoint that you go in there and most of the time you're going to see tarpon. I'm going to say, for me, it's probably 25% of the time. But, you know, that's why we go to check all these spots, because you can go in there and you most of the time you see tarpon.
Right. Yeah.
I go in there fairly seldom to see tarpon, and Carl, you're on a 50-50 mark, probably.
No, majority, like Robert was saying,
75% of the time.
Majority of the time they're in there.
Yeah, I don't get that kind of luck. But, hey, I look at it this way. It saves me the frustration. I don't have to look at them and not catch them. I just go in and can't find them, and then I get really stupid frustrated. All right. They make me really nuts. Okay. What we're looking at here is the Elgibine Pier, which is sponsored by Action Appliance.
The actual pier is still closed because they're still doing the pilings on it.
Yep.
But around the bridge still, they are catching some mangrove snapper. There was, up until today, a few juvenile tarpon around it in the early mornings. And I've heard of a couple of big black drum and a couple of small black drum. Kind of a hodgepodge of black drum sizes.
Yeah, there's still a few good snook there at nighttime. I had a buddy go there a couple nights ago. He got two nice snook off of there, throwing storm paddle tails.
Isn't it funny? You know, we talk about all these lures, and even the new Rapala one that I like so much, the Ripstop, you know, that's still a $9 lure. But when you start talking tarpon and snook and everything, how often do you hear, you know, the DOA bait buster? I was talking to Matt this morning. He was on the phone with Danny. He's catching them on the bait buster. That's what he's caught his tarpon with, was bait busters. I mean, Matt's talking about bait busters. You're talking about storm paddle tails. These are lures that are less than $5, some considerably less. I mean, like three for $5.
Yep.
And it's just kind of funny how people get hung up. Well, you know, this lure is $18. It's got to be good. It looks just like a fish. Man, I don't know. It's just funny. I listen to you guys talk, and I hear these lures, and they're the inexpensive ones.
Always.
They work.
It's funny. Well, it's just like the bomber. I mean, how can you go wrong with a bomber?
Yeah.
You know, it catches so many different varieties of fish.
But I'll say the only reason the bomber's so inexpensive is, one, the company's not greedy, and two, all of this has been set in place for 40, 50, 60 years.
Yeah, they've got the machining
and
all
that stuff. The
molds,
the machining, the distribution, the warehousing, the trucks, they have everything set up. And I used to blast on companies like Life Target because their lures are so expensive, and, you know, where do they come off charging that much for lures? And then you look at what it takes to start up a company, you know, in the 2000s, the price of buildings, trucks, you know, getting the distribution route set up. You have a massive expenditure to bring these lures to market, and you just can't sell them for $4 or $5 like some of the other companies can. Storm, which is a division of Rapala, they have the Mita Rapala behind them. And so, you know, I kind of get that. So I'm going to back off.
In 30 years, those lures will probably maybe still be the same price with very minimal increase.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doubtful, but I just never know.
I would like to think Live Target is really nice and good people and all that, but I can't actually say I'm 100% on board with that.
Right.
See you, Barb. Bye. All right. Mr. Josh Olive from the Water Magazine, you're coming into this here. Are you going to be around for a while? Did you want to join us? Or?
I had no idea you people were back here.
And just a second.
Getting away.
Okay. Let's see. Does that mic work, Josh?
I don't know. I'm talking to it. Are you hearing me?
No, I'm hearing you.
Okay. Then I guess it works.
Okay. So anyway, we're at the Myakka River area. We're sponsored by Murdoch Tire and Automotive. And what can you say about Murdoch Tire? Take your car there. Get it fixed. It's that simple.
Pretty simple.
I go up and I will say, Jim did talk me into a very expensive set of tires the last time. I mean, they were a lot of money. Those Michelins, unfreaking real. I've never spent money like that on tires before, never believed in it, never thought, why would you even bother? But with that Toyota truck of mine, he says, listen, if you want to get all you can get out of this truck, put these on there. And I did it because Jim said, you know, this, yeah, do it, it's worth it. Yeah. Oh my God.
Usually, I mean, if he suggests it, it's pretty much right.
Yeah.
The difference is night and day over, because I usually buy, I would say, less than average price tires. It's a tire. What difference could it make? Oh, no.
Well, come on, Frank. It's a fishing rod. What difference will it make?
I get that. But, you know, I can be stupid, too. But there is a reason when Jim says, you know, this tire or that tire. It happened to be Michelin's. I don't know if that's going to be the right tire for other people's cars. But, wow, going down the road and all those storms and the water and everything else, you can feel the difference in the tires.
Yeah.
I was shocked, you know.
You can hear it, too.
Yeah,
and it's not just because they're Michelin's, it's because they're well-made tires that are made for the kind of conditions we have here in summertime. And it's amazing the difference that it'll make when you have a tire that's actually made for wet weather on pavement.
I guess, because I couldn't have gone to a tire place would have told me, okay, you're going to pay this much for it. And, you know, it's Murdoch Tire and Auto, so they, you know, big into tires. I just wouldn't have believed that there would actually be that difference. I was shocked. Okay, Myakka cutoff, tippy canoe, cattle dock, 14-foot oil jibbing ramp. What are we talking about?
Go for it. You've been up there quite a bit.
There is quite a few redfish, and there's some very, very big snook in the Myakka cutoff right now. Doesn't make a lot of sense because it's so hot in there, you know, because of mud. But them fish, they're in there.
I had a good report that corroborates that, where a guy was saying that he was catching a good number of small redfish in there, which I thought was a really good sign. He said that they were running about 14 to 18 inches long. He said he didn't think he got a keeper one, but he said he got a couple dozen of them in there.
Yeah, and I've been kind of hearing the same thing, and I've been also hearing of a little bit better size of redfish and numbers of redfish on the north end of the cutoff and wrapping around to just the top end of Hog Island.
All right, any good ideas for snook fishing up in there?
Throw a topwater lure or a split tail fluke. I mean, those two baits right there work great in there. Other than that, shrimp on a jig head or free line of shrimp for the redfish.
Some of the guys have been doing fair on crabs, too.
Yeah, crabs always work, but shrimp are working pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Or if you want a really big snook, how about something that imitates a small redfish?
There you go.
I had two here a few months ago get eaten.
Yep.
All right. Here's going to be the stumper. South Gulf Cove canals.
Crickets.
Josh Olive, publisher of the Waterline magazine.
You really going to do this to me?
Anything?
Nothing.
All right. I will call the South Gulf Cove fishing club and get some reports from them. It's just sad. I have so many question marks. They're like, we don't know what's going on. All right. Which is going to take us down the West Wall, which is sponsored by Luigi's. And their Works Pizza is awesome. No other word for it. Absolutely amazing. The wife likes the chicken fettuccine Alfredo that they have. And Robert's a big fan of the veal parmesan. So
pretty impressive.
You know, we all have our things, but you get a lot of food. It's a lot of food. So anyway, what's going on in the West Wall?
A lot of redfish down towards the south end of the West Wall right now. Crabs have been working the best. I mean, if you notice, you drive down that West Wall, it looks like a minefield right now, how many crab traps are over there. But, I mean, crabs are working very, very good for those redfish.
Cut in half or whole?
Cut in half. There's oversized redfish and keepers over there.
All right. Anybody else got anything?
I've been hearing of a few trout and a few pompano just on the outside edge of the bar, along with a couple incidental sharks of assorted sizes, from little guys to the bigger guys. And then the
ladyfish on the outside of the bar too.
Yeah, ladyfish. There were some juvenile tarpon on top of the flat there, but I have not heard about those for a couple days. So I have a feeling maybe they played this little disappearing act again. It's that parallel universe sucked in by the vortex, right?
Yeah, I can't help it if I like Star Trek.
Better come out for tomorrow. That's all I got to say.
All right.
I talked to a guy who said he ran into a few Spanish mackerel over there also while he was fishing silly jigs for both ladyfish and pompano.
That's not too bad. Did he say if there were any size to them?
He said they were keeper, which probably means they were 13 inches.
Right.
Okay. They're a lot of fun. Now, we were having a discussion a while back, which I'll try to remember when we get down to the tarpon section on this, but about the only time, I mean, I've seen back years ago when I would cut up Spanish mackerel for bait, you're not allowed to anymore, tarpon eat the heck out of it, but I am not really, when I'm reeling them in, had them eat Spanish mackerel when I'm reeling them in the way I have ladyfish. I mean, I've caught ladyfish or trout, next thing you know, I've got a 60, 80, 100-pound tarpon on the line because he ate what I was reeling in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any one of you three had that happen while reeling in a Spanish mackerel?
I have.
Robert has.
I haven't.
I haven't had it happen while I was reeling one in, but I have seen tarpon blow up in a school of Spanish mackerel that we were fishing.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know if I'm going to let that counter out, but we'll give you a half a point for that. Okay?
I don't need points. It was an observation.
Now, trust me, around here, you're better off with the points. Okay. Down the West Wall takes us to K-Pay, sponsored by Finor. And really, the Lethal and the Marquesas, great reels. The Lethal is, and if they don't mess with it, now, over the years, Finor's had a horrible, horrible habit of making a great reel and then canceling it and bringing out something totally new because, oh, this is new. Well, if you're listening, Finor, don't touch the Lethal spinning reels. If you're out there listening, we will keep endorsing you. You change that Lethal. You couldn't pay me to advertise on this show if you change that Lethal. Because at this point, how dumb would that be, right?
It's a good reel.
Good reel.
Very good reel.
Strong, tough. Not a great casting reel. Not a great lightweight reel, there's no superlatives I would use with that reel. Solid, steady, sure, reliability, solid, good, it just good always comes to mind. Mm-hmm. On a Lethal. If Finor, if you want to do something, bring out something else and don't touch the Lethal.
Hey,
you
what if we made the Lethal out of carbon fiber?
No, bring it out as something else. Just leave it alone.
I think I just lost my half point.
Now you're sounding like Fedor. Oh, if we only did this, it would be better. No, it wouldn't. Leave it alone. Okay. K-Pays, what's going on down there?
On the Boca Grande side of it.
Isn't that a great ad? I do.
Yeah, they love you for
what,
that.
What idiots would pay me to talk like that? But they do. You know, that's the deal. You know, you want out here, you gotta put up with me. Okay. It's all with love, Finor. Just nothing but love. Okay, what's going on, K-Pace?
On the Boca Grande side and the little deeper channel along the edge there, they've been getting some Spanish mackerel, a couple of bluefish. There has been some small sharks kind of mixed in there. There was a couple trout in there, but I haven't heard that in probably about 5 days, so I don't know if that's still there or not.
They're still right out in front of K-Pace.
Are they?
Yep, in that 5 to 6 foot of water.
Yeah, and not all those sharks have been small either. I've heard about a couple of really nice-sized bulls and one good hammerhead caught right there.
Right on the bar itself?
Yeah.
There has been a lot of food over there. Spanish mackerel, ladyfish. So, I mean, there is a lot of food there running around.
Been a few redfish in that deep trough right by Muddy Bay. A couple guys have been getting into them in the late afternoon or being the first one there in the morning.
That same trough is holding, you know, snook.
Yeah, almost always does.
Yep. I tend to like to fish that on the outgoing tide.
Kind of sounds like there's no reason to go anywhere except Cape Hayes.
Oh, right now it's pretty fishy. it's doing pretty good over there right now.
Okay. Yeah, it's been that way for a while. You know, we keep talking about all these spots, and, I mean, last week when we did sharks... jacks, mackerel, trout, the big bull sharks, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before. It's been pretty darn consistent. Bringing us into Penn, which, Penn, I'd be happy to give you a much better ad if you'd send me some of the new Conflict 2s, the super lightweight machine cut reels. If I actually had some merchandise in stock, I'd be much more like, hooray, Penn! Right now, I'm like, okay, Penn, ship the reels. All right, it's been a month, you know, ship the reels. Actually, it hasn't been a month yet.
It's close.
It's close. It's getting there, but still. Okay. I'm going to give Penn 2.5 stars just because they're doing good. You lost 2.5 stars because I don't have my brand new Penn 2 lightweight machine cut gear reels in. Okay, so when we get that, we'll give you back your stars. No points for you. No Penn points. I want my reels. All right, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on?
I've been getting more reports from Bull Bay than Turtle Bay.
Okay.
Basically, the entrance right there on the harbor side has had some good mangrove
stuff. You're going to have to start saying things like Bull Bay at the mouth. You know how hard it is to type entrance while you talk?
You can type entrance, okay. And I can just talk.
Okay. All right. Bull Bay at the mouth.
This isn't, you're not like a court recorder.
You need to take a stenography class.
Yes, I do. I should take a class.
Mangrove snapper.
Ooh, that was forceful.
Yeah.
Pompano. There'd
been some pompano, a few snook, a few redfish. The redfish and the snook seem to be moving in around the corner there, which have both the shacks there on both sides. And then Carl's hearing about trout.
There's trout as soon as you come in that deeper water right there in the middle by the shacks. There's a lot of small trout running around right now over there. Throw a silly willy jig or a DOA paddle tail, anything like that, shrimp under a float, work great.
The guys who were catching redfish in there last week said that they weren't catching as many reds this time because the mangrove snapper kept taking all their shrimp.
Well, and the good part about that is the week before we were hearing the exact opposite. No one was having the snappers steal their bait. It was like the snapper disappeared for a week or so. And so that's actually a really good report that the snappers are there by the mangroves and stuff. You know.
Main thing has been looking for some moving water. We've had a lot of weird tides with this wind and stuff where the tides have been kind of stalling out. As soon as that tide starts to move, the fishing has definitely increased around those cuts.
Yeah, we've had
that's what I've been hearing.
We've had some weird tides this week with that wind fighting it.
Okay. That's going to bring us over to the Cape Hayes Reef. This month at the Fishing Club is one of two possibilities. We don't know which thing we're going to be doing. We're either going to be having Tim Johnson there from Reaper Rods, going over some of the Reaper Rod stuff, where to use, how to use different lures, and where to go fishing, or it could be a different topic. We're still waiting to find out. But don't worry, we have a few days left. We'll figure it out. But the Fishing Club meeting is going to be enhanced with the projector, big screen, pictures, laser pointers, and all the cool stuff this month. So, Cape Hayes Reef, anything?
Spanish mackerel, couple of bluefish, and one guy got into some small mangrove snapper, but nothing of any significant size.
A lot of mackerel, a lot of ladyfish. Yesterday we did pretty good on the sharks right around Cape Hayes Reef.
Right in the immediate vicinity of it?
Yeah, probably 100 yards west of the reef towards the pass. 100, 150 yards.
There you go. Did they move one of those buoys out there?
Yes.
They moved it up north, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They sure did, because it's not online with your GPS no more.
Right. That's what I was told, but it's just weird because it's like they flip-flopped it. The second buoy is where the first one should be.
Yeah. Well,
why would they do that?
Who the heck knows? I mean, it's maybe Charlotte County waters, maybe Lee County waters, maybe state waters, maybe the feds get in. I mean, any one of multiple government entities could come there and go, oh, well, that, I don't like that there. This should be on that side. And they'll move it.
Right.
And if you go out there and try and throw two concrete blocks to make a little reef, you're going to get fines and penalties. And if just to be able to do it, you have to fill out a massive amount of paperwork. Any one of these goofballs can go along and go, oh, well, I think this should be over there. And just pick it up and move it. And, you know, why bother filing the paperwork when you can just do it, and it's easier to get forgiveness than permission is what they do.
Right.
So, anyway, Josh, we're under the Gasparilla Sound Tailing Flats, and it's sponsored by the Waterline Radio Program. You want to tell us about this?
You mean Radio Waterline? Because that's what we call it.
Is that what the name of this is?
That is what we call it. We call it Radio Waterline. And
do you know anything about the people who host that show? I've heard about the show. There's stories, legends. I hear they're writing songs, but I'm just, you know, I don't know. Do you know anything about these folks?
Well, those guys do have some pretty crazy reputations, especially the co-hosts. We've got this guy named Robert Lukowitz. He is a crazy man. No matter what you say, he's always disagreeing with my other co-host, which is one of our local captains, Captain Mike Myers, and they're constantly fighting all the time. And it's really amusing.
With the main cohort.
Absolutely. Cohort. Well, with each other and with the main host, Josh.
It's a cohort or co-host? Oh, it's not cohort.
Not cohort. It's a different word entirely.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's really fun to see how they all disagree with each other constantly, and it makes for very entertaining radio, and everybody should listen to it from 7 to 9 in the morning on Kix Country 92.9 FM, or on our website at RadioWaterline.com. Oh, I mean their website.
Yeah.
At RadioWaterline.com.
Right. You don't know these guys.
I don't know. They're,
it's just you.
It'd be dangerous to know these guys.
It's easier to find this stuff. You just click that icon I put on the Fishing Report, and it'll take you right to their old show,
yeah,
so
you
can listen.
That.
Well, it takes you to the same spot. They don't have to type anything. They just click that little picture thing there. So, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats, since you're talking, Josh, got anything?
No, unfortunately, I don't. The guys who I talked to who went over there said they did not find what they were looking for and moved on.
Okay.
That's pretty bland.
That's, yeah, I mean,
I'm still getting a mixture of reports there from Devilfish all the way up to basically just past the Tailing Flats. Ladyfish, some trout, mostly smaller trout now, a handful of redfish here and there. Ko Palau on the north end of it has had some redfish a little bit more consistently. A lot of catch and release snook, even heard of some bluefish and Spanish out closer to the intercoastal. And then there's been a few incidental sharks moving around through there too, mostly lemons and small black tips, but kind of a mixed bag. How about you, Carl?
Sandfly's got a lot of snook sitting on it right now. There's also, you know, a bunch of trout just scattered out all over the flats. The back of catfish has quite a few redfish sitting in it right now.
Way up inside?
Yes, way inside.
That's a little strange.
The same thing with Whiting Creek. They're in the back. But there are a lot of redfish hanging out in both of them areas right now.
What are they catching them on?
Cut pin fish mainly.
Cut pin fish are still working real good?
Yep.
There you go. I know this is the time of year when a lot of guys start using that cut bait for the redfish.
Yeah, cut pin fish have been working the best out there.
How are the pin fish themselves out there?
Oh, that's why you can't. That's why you can't use crab or anything else, because pin fish that are there will eat it all up on you.
Like piranhas.
Yes, real quick.
Yeah.
When you throw it out there and you put it in a rod hole, you watch your tip just sitting there start vibrating, and it's like, gosh darn it.
All right. Placida Pier to Placida Trestle. Anybody got any stories, songs, fables about that?
Snapper and a few snook.
Yeah, I've just been hearing about the trestle itself, but not much off the pier itself. It's been mostly the snapper, a couple pompano, a couple snook. Overall, though, it's been a little on the quiet side this week.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what they're doing at the pier, but I noticed when I was delivering papers yesterday that they had an orange barrier fence across the trailhead again.
Really?
So that might account for some of the slower reports. It looked like one end of it had been knocked down, and I could see there were at least a couple people out there fishing, but it did look like they were attempting to keep people from going out there.
Hmm. And you have to always wonder why. I mean,
I have no idea.
It would be nice, you know, look at it this way. I know the county, when they do these things, they charge themselves the job and the permit fees and all this other kind of stuff. What would be so darn hard about a little plastic cardboard sign that said, okay, we're going to be working on the walkway. We're going to be working on the boards or the pilings. Just a little bit of an idea of what they're going to do. So that, you know, just to keep us informed a little bit.
Right.
That would be great.
Or let somebody like me know so we could put it in the magazine. Let somebody like you know so you can put it out here on your radio show and on your website. You know, that kind of stuff would be nice. Inform the public.
No, let's not do that. We had a guy come in and he asked me to endorse a candidate for public office here locally. And I looked at him and I said, listen, I will get behind you. I will give you money. I will spend my time. I will help campaign. If you can name me one person that you've previously endorsed, because he's big in all this, who's the same person that you knew a year after he was in office, name me one that was the same person who he was when they were elected, or she.
Yeah.
He just looked at me and said, okay. And I didn't have to endorse the candidate. You know, I was like, I don't understand that. I've talked to these guys when they come in the store when they're running for office and explained to them, the only thing that makes Charlotte Harbor different, Port Charlotte, Englewood, you know, Placida, Punta Gorda, the only thing we are different, the only thing that makes us different than Wauchula or Arcadia, which are nice towns, you know, there's so many inland towns in Florida, but our property values are 2-3 times ours. Our taxes are probably 2-3 times. But all this money that they can get and generate is because of the water, Charlotte Harbor, the fishing. Fishing is the number one thing people move here for. And with 3.5 million hits a month on this website, hundreds of thousands of people reading this, you would think they would actually just say, you know, guys, this is why we're doing it.
You would think. But it's hard to get through those heads.
Yeah. Okay. Lemon Bay. What's going on up there?
I haven't heard.
We got one question mark, Robert.
I've heard of some trout and a couple of very small redfish up there by the conservancy area with the kayakers and the wade fishermen. But that is the only report I've gotten.
You want to include Stump Pass with Lemon Bay?
No, let's do that in the passes, I think.
Okay.
Because they've got that new thing out there that's really...
New jetty
that's, you know, thingy. God, I'm so good.
Well, technically it's a groin, so...
Yeah, okay.
Maybe thingy is a better word.
Okay. Yeah, can't say groin. That could be a trigger word. I was watching the news the other night where they said, can't do that. That's offensive. Groin? Really?
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, I don't get it. you know, all I've got to do is say,
open up any taxonomy book, and that's pretty much the correct word for it.
Yeah, well, that's why I just do segments on real shows, because
yeah,
nobody wants me talking on live radio, okay?
Speaking of which, did you record one for us for this week?
We're getting there.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Putting up tarp and maps. I'm here. I'm doing this. I was at the house yesterday.
Settle down. I'm just asking.
I will be, I'll talk more about that when we get down to the sponsor. This is brought to you, Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge, the pier there in Englewood, by Custom Sight and Sound, my good friend Julio, and such nice people. I was talking to him this morning, and we're getting some other stuff. He's helped me. With Julio's help, we're going to try and get so that we can video and bring you the fishing club meetings on, just like we do radio fishing. So Julio's helping us out with that, and that's Custom Sight and Sound. They're up in Venice. TVs, home theaters, all that kind of stuff. I think you'll like them. All right. Anything from the pier?
Lots from the pier.
Okay, lots from the pier.
Yeah, guys are finding good numbers of mangrove snapper out there. I even had one guy tell me he caught a couple of keeper sheep's head, which nobody was really expecting. And there have been some gag grouper out there at night. If you're fishing along the bridge pilings, I haven't heard of those being keeper size, especially with them being 24 inches to keep now. But they put up a pretty good fight when you're standing there on the pier and fighting them up against those bridge pilings.
Yeah, they put up a really good fight. I mean, they're an incredible fish to catch in that shallower water.
Yep.
Doesn't matter the size of them, period.
There have also been snook and some small tarpon on the lights there at night, but they've been having a hard time catching them from the pier. So they saw some guys in boats who were doing a little bit better casting from the far side, but it seems like if it's coming from the pier side, they've figured out that there's something fishy about it.
Gotcha. So, wow.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
A little better than what I've gotten.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that good of reports, but way to go.
Well, part of it is that improved flow through Stump Pass. You're getting a lot more water movement out there than we were getting just a couple months ago. So that's really starting to pick things up in that area.
And we've talked about that before, where short-term bad things for the environment can equal very good long-term results. And a lot of people too focus, well, you're doing this and you're digging this and you're doing that. Yeah, well, it does hurt in the beginning, but you know, if you want to build anything, you got to tear some stuff up, look at it when it's done, not in the beginning. And so I think all the people who are fussing and feuding about having that out there really, really mistaken. I think it's really working out pretty well.
Yeah, and change is everything. I mean, think about this. If the asteroid hadn't killed off the dinosaurs, where would we be now?
That meant you sharpen your right claw to pierce the trout as it jumps, or the salmon as it jumps up the stream. Okay, I do speak dinosaur. That's
I
one of
did
those,
not know that.
Yeah, a few hidden talents that I do have. Out to the Gulf of Mexico, sponsored by American Fishing Wire, AFW High Seas. It just doesn't have to be any better than that. I would say Sampo is probably still the best ball bearing swivels on the market.
Better be. They're five times more money.
Yeah, it's kind of the point. You know, I get that. They're really, really good. But, wow, AFW, reliability over 99%. If you just want it to hold, pay a reasonable price, get a great product, buy the American Fishing Wire. You cannot go wrong. Or the High Seas fluorocarbon leader. I used that the last few times I was out. I've been trying a couple other ones. Now, the only thing I can say is I have not found anything better. I've found some that are equally as good, but they're more money. So
yeah, I use the fluorocarbon.
The High Seas. Yep. I like it. So anyway, our good friends from American Fishing Wire, strong advocates for the independent retailer. And thank you for all your help, American Fishing Wire, and Sean and all you guys. And what is Sean sponsoring for as far as out in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, that's been great. I mean, if you can get out there, the reports from out there have been fantastic. Around the weather, of course.
Yeah, it's been pretty windy.
Red grouper have moved in closer. We're starting to see some fish 65 to 70 feet. and expecting mostly keepers in the 80-foot range. So don't have to go out ridiculously far for those red grouper. And while you're out there, the pelagic reports have been really good. If you like catching bonito, a.k.a. little toonie, because that's what they've been mostly seeing closer in like that. Handful of kingfish, handful of the Spanish mackerel, and a lot more wherever you find bait pods, but on the reefs while you're bottom fishing. That's what they're seeing around those.
Okay.
And this is your last full moon for the spawn for the snapper coming up in a couple days, so you're probably going to see a lot of like individual wrecks where it's going to be stacked heavier with mangroves on one wreck and lane snapper more piled up on a different wreck.
There are some big,
because they do segregate themselves for that spawn, so it can be really interesting on certain wrecks out there.
And what were you saying, Carl?
There are some very big mangrove snapper out there right now. I mean, offshore fishing is great if you could get out there right now with this wind.
Yeah.
A little frustrating with the wind.
Squid seems to be working the best, though.
Yeah, that's still been pretty consistent.
Now, I had... Morris was saying all about live shrimp.
For the yellowtail snapper?
Yellow. No, he was saying on the grouper and everything.
Okay, I can see that, too.
So, you got two choices. Try and get some choice or size, maybe choice or select size shrimp, which is, you want them more than three, if you, your little finger, ring finger, index finger, you want them a little longer than that, but they not too much past the width of your palm. You can get too big and you don't get the number of fish. You get a lot of bites, but you lose a lot of bait. Too big a shrimp is a problem, as well as too small of a shrimp. But a lot of stuff out there. Now, this brings us to the passes sponsored by the Shield Tsunami Rod and Reel combination thing. I would be much more on board if we could get any product.
What's with you and not being able to get product? What is going on?
I don't know. I've called and complained to a few companies. Now with Penn, I get it, brand new product, isn't even in the country yet. It's just landing in the country, I think, now, so we should be getting it, you know. But why? I mean, I don't know, maybe their sales are that good, I don't know. So not much to talk about with Shield. I'm going to charge them for the ad, but I'm going to say, listen, you know, ship me some reels, my sales will probably go up. Really hard to sell them when you don't have any. So hopefully they'll be here soon. If, you know, I think it's a little late today. Yeah, it's 2:30. If they were going to be here, they'd be here today. So maybe Monday. All right, this is where we talk about the different passes. So which passes got, I guess, Josh, you were talking about stump pass.
Stump pass with that new groin that's in there that's been attracting a lot of fish out there. Guys,
wait a minute,
how
do you spell groin?
G-O-R-I-N? Yep, G-R-O-I-N.
Or
G-R-O-Y-N-E if you want to spell it old-fashioned style.
What is it?
G-R-O-Y-N-E. They used to use that spelling to differentiate a nautical groin from an anatomical groin.
So I'm definitely doing the nautical one, so...
Yep.
Okay. See why we have him, you know,
Eastern
give him a mic,
yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not just for his good looks.
Face made for radio.
Yeah. Well, you know, it says you spelled it wrong, but I'm going to believe you. I'm not believing spell check because I don't believe him. Has a new groin. Groin. All right. So.
Yeah. Yeah, starting to see pretty good numbers of snook out there. It's actually holding bait fish now. And they're starting to see some Spanish mackerel around it also. And some of the mangrove snapper have been biting out there on the deeper end. It's basically the same cast of characters that we see up at the Venice Inlet on the jetties there.
I've heard of some bigger redfish, mm-hmm. too, there in the early mornings and then in the evenings, too. Like bull size, you know, 35 inches and better.
Not really a surprise. Same thing that happens in Venice.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you called it with a perfect description of that.
Anything for you, Carl?
Not out of cap there.
All right. Any other pass?
Captiva is doing very good. A lot of snook sitting on those docks right there at the mouth of Captiva Pass. There's some gag groupers sitting in the pass itself. There's also been a few big sharks sitting around the outside of Captiva Pass.
Most of those nurse sharks, or you're still hearing bulls? Others? Yeah. Yeah, I've been hearing mostly lemons and nurse sharks down there. That's not a bad thing. You know.
I hear from the traditional guys that we're still seeing some tarpon in Boca Grande Pass. Obviously not the numbers that we had before, but still catchable fish out there.
Okay. All right, now that's going to take us to walking the beaches, and Josh, the fish coach, hire him to go walking with you or whatever. But like I say, this is going to be the last ones for the fish coach, because we have made the decision to not have captains sponsoring the spots. And I don't think they like the way I talk, you know, because...
You give up their secret spots all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they care about that, but...
Really?
I think more or less more to say when somebody's lucky and when they're not lucky, and if I have to actually advertise for them, I'm not sure I want to be responsible for what I say about the different captains. I think if they want to get on the program, they can call in and I'll do interviews with them and stuff like that, but I think it's not a good idea for me to have captain sponsoring spots.
So now we have to talk about ourselves?
Yeah, you guys are going to have to promote it yourself. You know, you can talk. You know,
can take
you're
the
Josh the fish
call.
Coach. I mean, it's you. You can say whatever you want to say. So if you were going to take somebody out to teach them fishing, and, you know, they can hire you to do this, and you were going to go out along the Gulf beaches, what would you be teaching them?
Well, we'd probably stick to early mornings for right now. That's when the best bite has been. We'd look for a beach that's relatively close to a pass, and we'd probably stick to fishing in that first trough because that's where most of the fish are going to be. We would expect to possibly catch some snook because those fish are definitely out there moving along that area. There have been some flounder out there, and some of them have been surprisingly good sized. There's been a handful of pompano. Those are going to be hit or miss on any of those spots, but the closer you get to the passes or the more hard cover you have out there as opposed to just plain sand, your chances are going to go up for catching some of those fish. But no matter what you're fishing for, the key is to not cast out past them. All those fish are going to be pretty close to the beach. You know, expect them to be within 30 feet of where the water is breaking on the sand.
And that's a guy was in the other day. He says, how come you don't sell more surf rods? I said, because we don't have a continental shelf. We don't have a breakwater on the Gulf of Mexico side. They do on the Atlantic, but we don't here. You're not trying to make that big, long cast to work your plugs out there along that deeper drop.
And only time that's really useful is when you have bait fish pods that are running along the beach and bringing mackerel or bluefish or jacks or something like that within a relatively long cast of the beach. Then a surf rod would be great, but not the way that most people are used to it, which is casting it out and letting it sit. You'd be casting out with a big heavy spoon or something and reeling it back in towards you.
Right.
Totally different style.
And I can take a fairly heavy action, just regular 7 foot or 8 foot rod, throw a water fillable casting bubble in front of a spoon and make it zing and still catch fish with it. So anyway, that was anything you want to add, Robert or Carl, about walking the beaches?
I'm going to agree with him with the flounder part of it, because I've had a couple reports of the flounder, like down at Boca and Captiva Pass in particular. You know, even Austin's new girlfriend yesterday caught a nice little flounder.
There's been some big snook on the beaches too. That's what I'd try to target myself.
Right there in the passes?
Right near the pass, you know, a couple hundred yards of the passes. That's where the big snook have been seen to hanging out.
Just got to take time to resuscitate them.
Yeah. Water's hot.
Yeah.
It's actually come down a couple degrees last week.
Yesterday
from all
that was
overcast 82. And the rain.
Yesterday was 82 degrees. Today was 86, I believe.
Really?
All right. Ponarasa Sanibel.
That I haven't had anything except for the couple tarpon fishing at night, but that's it.
There's been tarpon down there by the Sanibel Causeway. There's also been a lot of big snook sitting at the Sanibel Causeway right now. You know, quite a few snapper and stuff like that there too. But majority of, you know, the snook fishing is being done at nighttime.
Nothing up around those little islands right there on trout or anything like that?
There are some redfish around Christmas Island and like Picnic Island and all that. There are redfish scattered all around those islands right now. There's nothing in no big numbers, but there are redfish there. I don't know if there's any trout. I haven't tried trout fishing down there lately.
The better redfish reports I had were a little bit further up into Matlache Pass and up into Pine Island
We're getting there.
Down that far south.
Yeah, we're getting there. Okay, Calusa, actually, I talked to Matt today. He had crickets outside of some big snook on the spillways.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything at all, except for down by the Cape Coral Bridge. Down
by the Cape Coral Bridge.
And they're still getting Mayan cichlids and tilapia up at Franklin Locks.
That's something. People don't realize how good eating they are. It's kind of surprising.
They are delicious. If you want to catch a mess of snapper, but you don't like the snapper bag and size limits that we have, go fishing for Mayan cichlids and tilapia. It's pretty much the same thing, except you can keep as many as you want and any size you want.
Okay, that brings us up to Matt Lachey. All right. Robert, anything around the bridge?
I have not heard anything.
Okay. Carl, anything?
There has been, there's quite a few redfish hanging around right there at the power lines in Matt Lachey that are crossing over the water on both sides. Majority of the redfish are on the west side of the power lines in those little islands right there. There has been some very big snook sitting at the Matt Lachey Bridge underneath like those little restaurants. Good luck getting them out from underneath there, but there are some big snook sitting there.
All right. Yeah,
but when aren't those fish there, really?
That's true.
They kind of live there. So.
No, they got the shrimp boats that come in and all the other stuff there. So those docks hold a lot of fish.
Yeah. And those redfish are scattered all through Matt Lachey Pass from basically north of the river.
All right, so as Josh, the fish coach, if you're going to go out and teach somebody fishing on the water, you're going to get on their boat and you're going to go out with them and show them where to go fishing. Carl's talking about a lot of redfish around the power lines and more, and a big snook up underneath the bridge and the docks there. What are you doing with your redfish?
Well, with those redfish, I mean, I prefer to fish natural cover rather than artificial. But if you're fishing docks or mangrove shorelines, it works basically the same way. I mean, those fish are hanging out underneath the cover, so you're pitching something smelly that you can fish slowly underneath there, whether it's a chunk of cut bait or a dead shrimp or a scented soft plastic.
You think about moving north or south from Matt Lachey Bridge?
I'd go either direction. There have been fish in both directions from what I've been told. So, I'd probably go the direction that I saw fewer boats.
That's probably the best answer you're going to give. Okay, Pine Island Sound, which is sponsored by Reaper Rods. Is there any of us who don't have a Reaper?
Nope.
You got one, Carl. Robert's got one. I have them. Josh, do you have Reaper Rods?
I believe I have three at the moment.
Okay. Well, I guess if you want an ad for Reaper Rods, there's four of us here. We all own them. Okay, they're made here in Port Charlotte. American components assembled here in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda. So,
by a guy who puts his phone number on every rod he sells. I mean, the number's right there on the tag. If you have anything that you need to talk to him about, I mean, he's putting it out there. Try to get any other manufacturer to do that.
Well, that was the guy, he wanted a surf rod. You know, he wanted me to sell him a rod and reel for his buddy. You know, they were going to send it up to him. And I said, man... You know, and they're looking at like slammer reels. These are, a couple $100, mm-hmm. Give or take a little bit. But I said, you need to call Tim, tell him what you want, and have him make a Reaper for it. I mean, if you're going to spend, because they were looking for some high-end stuff. This guy's a good friend. They've all known each other many, many years. They wanted some really nice stuff, really long casting. I said, well, your best bet, pick the reel you want. Then let him get a hold of Tim, and it was pretty cool. I mean, he's going to build them the exact rod to do what they want to do with. So, Pine Island Sound, what's catching there?
From Captiva Pass all the way into the fish shacks has been the most common area I've been hearing about. Some trout in some of those deeper holes and drop-offs. Been a few redfish right there around Captiva Rocks with a couple of flounder. Assortment of lemon sharks and a few nurse sharks. And that's about it that I've heard of.
There's been quite a few redfish around Mondongo Island. And Boquilla, right there where the power lines are in the water all the way around to the Spanish house. There's been quite a few redfish.
Yeah, there have been redfish further south, too, along some of those shorelines. But you got to remember that a lot of those places get hit pretty hard. So those fish get a lot of pressure. So you've got to put in your time, and you've got to be willing to be patient. There have also been some Spanish mackerel just out in the open areas of the sound, too.
Okay. I'll add that in.
Some of the deeper troughs and stuff, or
just literally in the channel and in open areas near the channels.
Okay. Well, just that's going to take us up to Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla area. And that is sponsored by JT's Custom Pools, very good friend of ours. And builds a nice pool. I mean, click picture will take you to his website, but I wish I had place for one. I wish I had, you know, quite honestly, I wish I had the money for one. But, you know, the other day we were finishing up downstairs and Aaron said, man, a pool would be very nice today. I mean, I just think, okay, you know, go rinse off quick and then.
But you have a canal in your backyard. You can swim anytime you want.
Yeah, no, not so much. I could see that in the wintertime, but at this time of year, there ain't no way, no, not at this time of year. It'd be hotter in the water than it would be standing on land.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Jug Creek, Boquilla, JT Custom Pools, what are they sponsoring?
I've been hearing of just a few trout and a few Spanish mackerel in the surrounding area of it, but other than that, not a whole lot.
Those docks right there on Boquilla have a bunch of snook on them. You know, the docks just to the east of that public fishing pier there?
Mm-hmm.
There's been quite a few snook sitting on those docks.
Now, what were you talking about with the Spanish house, the old mission there? What's
There's been a lot of redfish sitting right there at the Spanish house because there's a big oyster bed there up close to the shoreline, and there's a deep trough on the one side of that oyster bed, and those redfish have been piling up in that deep trough right off the oyster bed. Cut pinfish, been working the best, and cut mullet.
So cut bait's still a thing because the pinfish are horrible down there too, right?
Yes. For some odd reason, they don't eat each other. You could throw out a cut pinfish and they ain't going to annihilate it like they would a ladyfish or a crab.
Really?
A little trickier.
Yeah.
But they'll eat each other in the bait tank, no problem.
Yeah, they eat the tails off each other all the time.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with them out in the flats, you know, where there's a lot of pinfish. If I use cut pinfish, I don't have an issue with them. But if I throw ladyfish, mullet, crab, it's getting pecked apart.
Huh. They eat all the insides out of your crab. I've seen them do that with you.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It gets a little frustrating.
I don't know when Penn was done, but this is, let me see, it's the 21st catalog produced by Penn. It's, or some, at least that's what I'm assuming. It says Penn Catalog 21.
Could old catalog.
1921.
It could be. I don't think it is. This is interesting, though.
Kind of cool.
They weren't around in 21.
No.
These photos are 50s. Taken in 1957.
The year I was born.
So I'm going to guess that that's about this vintage.
It's about the year they came out. Didn't they just have a 70? No. Yeah. I think they.
All right. That's not 70 years ago, Robert.
No.
1957 is not 70 years ago.
I know it's not. I'm not trying to age you.
I'm just stating on the record. It is not 70 years ago.
I'm just saying
it
wasn't 1921.
Pretty close, though. Hey, you could get a Penn Seahawk number 77 for $3.
Yeah.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Well. But a 14-aught was still $100.
Really, a 14-aught was $100, and that's back when wagers were like $30 a month, 10 cents an hour, I think is what they paid, 5-10 cents an hour. So that's a lot of money for a 14-aught. Anyway, I gotta figure out what to do with that. Catalog's laying right here.
You'd probably keep it someplace.
So, yeah, I'll put it someplace. I'll throw it up. Okay, I'll throw it up. Oh, my God. All right. Shimano is sponsoring the area from Burnt Store to Two Pines. Shimano's got some good stuff out this year. Literally, their CI4 has really gotten a lot better. They've got a seal on the main shaft. It is one O-ring. They could do a little better on that, but everything else is working fine. It's back to being a good, reliable reel that you can buy and feel good about. And I won't even argue about it anymore. Actually, Shimano's back. So, outside of that, any other Shimano products anybody likes?
I like that Sienna a whole lot.
Yeah, the Sienna is amazing.
Tough reel.
Yeah, the best, literally the best $31 reel ever built. So, we've got that down. What's the Shimano sponsoring in the area around Burnt Store Two Pines?
There's been some pompano on the outside of the bar there with a few inside of it. There has been a few juvenile tarpon on the inside of the bar just south of Burnt Store.
A lot of snook sitting in Two Pines right now. A lot. I mean, the majority of them are in your smaller size, but, I mean, it's fun time. You can sit down there and catch snook all day long right now.
There have also been sharks and a handful of cobia reported outside the bar.
Variety of sharks or any specific?
They didn't say, just sharks, which probably means that they weren't
sand sharks. Bonnet
heads, they weren't hammerheads, they were just, you know, sharks.
Sand sharks.
Yeah, sand sharks. Common sharks, gray sharks.
Yeah.
They weren't yellow, so they weren't lemon sharks.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
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 Well, you know, for a lot of guys, they have a hard time telling those things apart, so they're just sharks.
Yeah. No, and I can understand that, because some of them are very tricky to tell.
I ask you guys nowadays, everybody's gotten so specific on the shark names that
they've come up with so many regulations that you kind of have to now. It's kind of
difficult. Half the time I got to ask you guys what the heck they are.
I don't want to misinform anybody intentionally, so I got to try to stay on it a little bit. But even with pictures, it's still tricky sometimes to tell.
Yeah, it really is, which is why I really strongly encourage people who are shark fishing that if you don't know for sure, then let it go.
Exactly.
You know? And even then, I have people who sometimes do know for sure, and they'll do something like harvest a baby bull shark because it has black tips on its fins. It's got to be a black tip.
Yeah.
But it's not a black tip. It's a baby bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird how many of them look alike and have different markings if they're in different areas and all that. It's really kind of crazy. Anyway, this is going to bring us to the east side, and we're going to start with Carl because this is sponsored by Akuma. Carl, you fish Akuma all the time. Give me an ad for Akuma. Tell me something wonderful.
I mean, if they could hold up my abuse, I mean, they're pretty gosh darn good. Because I abuse stuff bad.
So, Carl sucks and the reels don't.
I put them through heck. I mean, hell, I mean, they hold up day in and day out. They're good. They're reliable.
All right, name me two you like.
The Shadow Stalker and then the Azor.
Gotcha. All right.
Shadow Stalker's a rod, Azor's is a reel.
Yes.
Okay, and the neat part about it is when you started out, you didn't get, like, six Azores.
Nope.
You had all, from the very inexpensive to the very expensive, and you settled in over the last year and a half, 2 years, of fishing the Akuma stuff to those two products as what you think are...
They're middle price reel. I mean, that's the best one, in my opinion.
Yeah, their $100 reel, I think, actually was way better than the $140 reel they had. If you bought their $139 reel, you were probably fairly disappointed. I believe hopefully you bought it from somebody like me, and we'll take it back and give you the $100 reel and the store credit, because that Azor has really proved out good. Isn't that, I told you, why would anybody pay me to give them ads?
Exactly.
If you bought their $140 reel, bring it back and we'll give you a $100 reel.
Don't buy the overpriced junk. Buy the middle of the road stuff.
Well, it did suck.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, the minute you lie to people, they're going to know you're lying.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, you have a level of loyalty to these companies, I guess, but your first loyalty is always going to be to your customers.
Well, they're the ones spending the money. The other guys are asking me to spend money. And the only way I'm going to want to spend money is if my customers want to spend money. If they're not getting a good deal, they're getting screwed. Guess who else gets screwed?
Exactly.
Me. So, you know, so anyway, but that's why you're on that reel. And I think the best head we could say for him is if you go to that, you know, $100 mark, you're going to get a great reel.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm still thinking the same are that $50 reel is the best $50 reel ever built.
Yep, that's a very good one.
We need a lot more of them. We are sold out. We are waiting on them. I got three or four of those on order. I keep getting emails and phone calls. What's that $50 reel Frank likes so much? I'm like, yeah, I'd see it go. So anyway.
I mean, the Shadow Stalker rod, it's a very good rod, very strong.
I actually like the one that's the down from that one better.
Reflections?
I think it's the reflection. Yes. I like the reflection better. It's a little less expensive, but it's not that. The Shadow Stalker has a completely different action. That reflection's a little more on the tip action, and the Shadow Stalker's a little softer. It reminds me more of the old Red Bones, the original Red Bone that was really one of the best rods ever made for action and everything like that. Not the new Red Bones. They changed the blanks, and they're not what they used to be. But the old Red Bone that everybody loves so much, I think, and it just didn't dawn on me till just now, that might be why everybody likes that rod so much. It is the closest thing to the original Red Bone, I think, that I've seen.
Yeah.
Probably why I don't like it very much.
I mean, I've caught big fish off.
It could be. Because, you know, a lot of people weren't, you know, a lot of people love that Red Bone. I used to sell thousands of them. And then they changed to the new one, and that didn't work out so well. But so maybe it's the Shadow Stalker that appealed to it. But that's why they build different rods.
And you're right, I like that reflections, especially as a topwater rod. It's got the right feel to do that kind of stuff. Shadow Stalker is a good plastics or live bait rod, but I just prefer something that has a little bit more spring on that tip.
See, this is why you
different styles of fishing.
Yep, that's why we have. It would be so much easier. People come in and say, what's the best lure? Oh, it would be so easy if I had the lure, the rod, and the reel.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like when somebody says, what's the best tire?
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I can tell him I don't know. You'd have to ask Jim because I don't even look. He just says, you know, I say, go ahead. He says, well, you should do this. Okay.
It was just a zing, Frank. Go on.
Okay. So I don't get in there. Okay. East side of the harbor. We're at the east side.
I mean, I was over there today. We caught a lot of trout, 100 to 200 yards just north of Pirate Harbor. We were throwing Silly Willy jigs. We were throwing DOA cow paddle tails. We were actually over there just targeting ladyfish for bait, and we ended up sitting there for about an hour and a half just catching trout.
All right. Were there ladyfish there?
Yes, a lot of ladyfish. There's also quite a few snook, you know, scattered all over your outer islands over there. The redfish seem to be sitting in your back islands. For some odd reason, they're in the back country right now over there. And the snook are all up on the outer barrier islands.
What's your baitfish situation look like over there?
Small.
Reasonable abundance?
A lot of bait, yes. But
is it white bait or is it threadies?
I wouldn't throw on it. You're going to get a Christmas tree and kill everything.
Yeah.
Alright.
But I mean, there is a lot of bait over there.
That brings us up to Alligator Creek, sponsored by Acline HR. And they do all our payroll, HR, workman's comp, you know, and they take responsibility for what they do. Very simple thing to see if you should even consider switching to Acline. Call up the people doing your payroll if you have somebody doing it and say, if you mess it up and there's fines coming from, you know, the government because the taxes are messed up, are you paying them or do I have to pay the fines? Because that's the reason I'm with Acline. Is the last company, first company I had, they took care of it. They were a lot like Acline, but they sold out. And but the last company I had, they messed up my payroll taxes. I had to pay the fines. I said, why? I wasn't even doing them. You were doing them. No, just the way they did it. So that's the way to tell if you want to stay with your company or not. Do they take responsibility for what they do? It's not about the matter of the money. It's a matter about, hey, If I didn't mess it up, why am I paying? So, anyway, what's going on in Alligator Creek?
From Alligator Creek to Ponce, there's a lot of redfish. They're not... It's been taking me sitting in about a spot for about 20 to 30 minutes before the redfish turn on, but then it's one after another for a short bit. There's quite a few smaller snook over there. There's a lot of ladyfish. There was a few tarpon running through there on the outside of the bar, too. Pretty good area right now, though. You know, shrimp and crabs is what I'm mainly using for, like, the redfish. For the snook, I'm throwing, you know, paddle tails, the weedless split tail flukes are working great for the snook, too.
Okay. There we go. Anybody else got anything for Alligator Creek?
There's also a bunch of good snapper over there in those little feeder creeks.
No. Yeah, There's been a lot of mullet in the creek itself, and there have been some large unidentified explosions of those fish being eaten in the lower part of the creek. But they hadn't caught anything, nor were they able to figure out what exactly was in there eating.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool.
It's a pretty good activity. You know, I've been seeing that somewhat in my canal a little bit, but... Nice to just see mullet finally.
Right. No kidding.
All right, Ponce de Leon Park. Anything happening at Ponce de Leon Park?
I seen the guys there today when I was cleaning the boat up. They were catching a bunch of small black drum today. Eaten-sized black drum. Just on sitting there, shrimp on a weight. They were fishing for snapper, and they were actually pulling in a lot of black drum.
Right there on the pier, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hearing of that, and some small jacks coming through periodically. Along with some mangrove snapper, but most of the ones that have been coming through have been pretty small.
Yeah, there was some big snapper in there, and then I think they all got caught.
It's like a light switch went off. They just disappeared. Or
and now it's all little guys.
Yeah.
But okay. There was some really good ones.
Wade fishermen were coming up with some redfish there on the edge of the channel, on the north edge. Not so much out on the flat, but just right there where the channel meets it.
Some pretty dark water there right now.
Mm-hmm. Looks like coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. PGI Canal, sponsored by Charlotte Harbor Construction Incorporated, Custom Home Builders. And they're right there in Punta Gorda if you're thinking about moving to the Punta Gorda area and you want to know more about the area rather than... But, I mean, they can tell you from legal stuff to recreational stuff. These people actually go out and go fishing, and that's how they got on here. They were in the store, and we're talking to them, and says, yeah. And he says, hey, you know, I see you're selling ads, you know. So, anyway, Shallow Harbor Home Construction. The number's right there on the fishing report, 941-347-4665. It's right on the fishing report. They're sponsoring the PGI Canals. And what is Charlotte Harbor Construction? Yeah, cheap. I'm reading it and I can't tell. Charlotte Harbor Construction Incorporated. What are they sponsoring in the canals?
Quite a black drum in there today.
Yeah, been a lot of black drum throughout there. A
few snook we caught today in there. But mainly it's been the black drum. Then the tarpon were missing in action in the canals today over there. But they have been over there.
Still hearing of some good jacks over there too, sporadically, you know, in the 5 to 8 pound range. You know, especially right there around Colony Point and right up to right there in the little basin around Fisherman's Village.
Yeah, we seen a school of jacks come through, but they came through fast and they were on a mission today.
Two speeds, haul butt and disappear.
Oh, it was overdrive.
Nice.
Okay, now I have the publisher of the Waterline magazine here. How do you spell hiding? H-I-D-E?
Hiding? Yeah. H-I-D-I-N-G.
Oh, okay. There we go. Three times, and every time I had a red line underneath it, so I finally figured I'd ask.
You can't right-click it and have it just correct it for you?
No.
Oh, so no. It just tells you you're wrong, but it won't tell you what's right.
No.
That's nice of it.
No. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong.
User-friendly.
Yes. Okay.
Figure it out yourself.
Gilcrest Pier.
Crickets.
Black drum moving through. They're not sitting there, though, but they're just traveling back and forth.
All right.
Now, I heard about a sawfish, not huge, about 4 feet, that was caught maybe 150 yards away from the pier. That's close enough that you could have been theoretically fishing from the pier.
Yeah, from the seawall there, same area.
Yeah.
Okay, and this brings us to the Alligator Creek Reef, sponsored by my buddy Mick Grady. He's got that Allstate insurance company, but he sells a lot of other stuff too. Whether you're a charter boat captain, you need your boat insurance, which is really hard to find, because one of the major ones that goes nationwide, when I finally needed it, I paid for it for years, finally needed it, they wouldn't cover anything. I was like, are you kidding me? No, wow. We don't cover this, we don't do that. I'm like, why the heck did I have insurance in the first place? I went over, and Grady's doing all my... he went out and found charter insurance for me. So you can get regular boat insurance, you can get your charter insurance from them. So I like dealing with him, because I just say, hey, this is what I need. And he'll go out and find people. I needed amended policies for the store here because of increased inventories and liabilities and all this other kind of stuff. And it's nice just to call somebody up and say, hey, this is what I need. You know? And they're not asking, well, do you this or that? He comes in and goes, okay, here's your choices. You know? Well, which one do I want? Well, this one will give you this, which one will give you that? And they, you know, I need help.
Especially, well, no, you can't spell like hiding.
I can't spell hiding. How the heck am I going to figure out how to buy insurance? That's why I'm very happy to have him as a sponsor for this. Okay, Alligator Creek Reef.
The southern end of the reef is where I've been hearing the most consistent reports. Some Spanish mackerel, a couple of very short cobia, a couple of mangrove snapper, one Goliath grouper, and one gag grouper. Overall, it's been pretty quiet. The tarpon were moving across there periodically because there's been a bunch of small thread fins hanging out over there on the reef, but I haven't heard about those all week.
A lot of ladyfish.
Ladyfish sitting on top of the reef, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and not all of those cobia over there have been short. I heard about a couple keepers caught this past week.
All right.
Guys who were planning to run offshore and couldn't and said, well, there's a reef inside the harbor. We'll fish that.
There you go.
They also caught some decent mangrove snapper over there.
This wind's been making a lot of people do a lot of weird stuff out there.
Yep. And they used all the baits that they were planning to use offshore. They used squid, they used cut sardines, what they'd already had gotten. Perfect. And they were catching those mangrove snapper on it.
That's pretty awesome.
Hmm. It's kind of neat when you're sitting there, and normally you wouldn't think, okay, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do that. Seato is sponsoring the Deep Holes in the Harbor, the goofy little yellow boat that came out to bring me gas when I ran out of gas. And the good thing was, he said, are you sure that's what's wrong? I said, no. He said, well, if it's not, we'll tow you back in. So they can either work one way or the other way. And, you know, good to have somebody you can just call and not... I mean, I've got a lot of friends I could make calls, but by the time you make a call, Seato could have come and got me and taken me. I could be back in before I get a hold of somebody sometimes.
Or there might be nobody out there on the water to answer your call. It might be in the evening time. And
or you could be like Carl and spin a hub and just not call any of us.
He made lots of calls.
He just didn't call you.
So, I take it, you know, and that's fine. I didn't want to be called. Why do I want to be bothered, you know? You know, I don't care. I didn't get my feelings hurt. All right. Seato sponsoring this.
He didn't have to get off the couch.
I would suggest you might want to call Seato, because next time you come over and say, oh, yeah, now you call? Yeah.
We figured you wouldn't.
I'll be there within a week.
We figured you wouldn't be able to get your boat off that funky little dock thing you've got.
Actually, mine is some good news, because I've been not happy at all with this floating thing you pull your boat on and get it on and off with. You got to talk to the owner of the company. Because I finally called down there. I calmed down enough where I wasn't just going to beat somebody's head in. You know? Because really, I wanted to revert back to more of my former self and just walk in the door and say, all right, it's on. You know, there's only three or four of them working there. I'm pretty sure I can take them. You know,
take your dad with you.
Yeah, right. So, Anyway, Cito sponsoring the deep holes in Charlotte Harbor.
All the catfish you want.
Yes.
Lots and lots of catfish. Carl didn't even hesitate with that one. There wasn't even a dot on the end of the sentence, and he was agreeing with that one.
I was waiting to spit out catfish.
All right. Anything else?
There has been a few tarpon peppered out there. You know, it's been so windy this week that, you know, even if they are out there, you're not going to see them. You know, I would say that maybe wait to see it calm down and then go out there and see what you can find.
Now, when we see those big schools of catfish, though, you expect there to be some sharks in with them?
Yeah. Yeah, they will be around them.
And you can catch a catfish and put him right back out for shark bait?
Or tarpon. Tarpon will eat them, too, just the same.
The nice thing about that is that if you get a pretty good-sized catfish, it's probably not going to be eaten by another catfish.
Probably not.
Probably.
Probably. Always possible.
Yeah. Some big cats out there.
All right, here's one of the more popular parts of the report. We know there's a lot of pinfish on Gasparilla Flats.
Yep, definitely.
This is the bait report. Okay, pinfish I have three people here.
Pinfish have been really good also down there. You know, Johnson Shoals. Not Johnson Shoals, how am I doing? Jug Creek Shoals. You know, and then also out on the flats, they're out in front of Boquilla on the grassier areas, find some little sand holes and shouldn't have any problem there. Seems like as you move up towards Pirate Harbor, they're smaller. You know, they're in that still that silver dollar size. It seems like more consistently there as far as numbers go.
All right.
There is good white bait on Jug Creek in about 8 feet of water and also on the beach.
All right. Hang on, Jug Creek.
Actual cast nettable size white
bait. Yeah, you got to remember, Robert, when you normally talk, you talk very slow, but all of a sudden you come in with a question, you got to come in a little softer. That hurts.
Okay,
there you go. Just ease into it, buddy.
Okay.
You got excited about that one. Ease into there. All right. Jug Creek is whip bait. Wait a minute. I guess that needs an H. Okay. Jug Creek is white bait.
It's in sitting in deeper water. All your smaller stuff is sitting shallow.
Go ahead, Robert.
Is there actually sizable white bait out there?
Yes, 4 or 5 inch white bait.
That's pretty surprising.
But like I said, they're all sitting in deep water, 8 to 10 feet of water.
All right. And white bait.
Because I'm hearing a lot of threadies out there that people are confusing with it still.
No. There's white bait.
White bait in the Gulf. Is it by the beach?
Right on the beach.
Okay.
And some of it is close enough to shore that when you find fish busting on it, you can cast into it pretty easily. It's close enough that if you wanted to throw a sabiki out there, you have a reasonable chance of getting some bait from the beach.
Yep.
Okay. Any place else possible white bait?
Sanibel.
Okay.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa. But other than that, everywhere else, it's pointless to throw on it because you're just going to kill it all and you'll be spending a couple hours cleaning your net out.
Good way to chum.
Yeah, but you're killing our population. We want them to grow up and make babies.
Imagine that. Those wiffle ball bats.
I got a good use for mine. It's a very good tool to wash down the deck.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Nice.
Okay. Freshwater canals, creeks, and ponds sponsored by certain water services. They were at my house yesterday, and I now have some kind of, I don't know the name of the carbon. It's some kind of beyond carbon stuff, but it's used in commercial applications. Like, even the water companies use it, and some crazy cattle something carbon. And that's for the whole house. And then on my refrigerator, I have a reverse osmosis extra filter because that's where we take the cooking water. And, you know, people have a little water tap next to their sink for that. We run it through the refrigerator because it has a thing. You put how many ounces you want it to fill up. You just hit the button, fills the jug. And when it gets to the top, it stops automatically. But this morning, got to test that for the first time because last night I was flushing it out because, you know, I want to get we had to put sanitizers in because it was originally a unit that I bought for the Shiner tanks but wouldn't keep up. So I had it redone, sanitized, done, because it sat for several months. And but after doing it all night, I had coffee this morning. It was wonderful. And, you know, because of the current state of healthcare, I don't have any healthcare. I work so people less fortunate than me can have free healthcare. So, you know, I have no problem working 60, 70 hours a week so, you know, other people can have healthcare. Not a problem, you know. But if you're going to be healthy, as I get increased...
He's better about things, but not his coffee.
No.
But as you know, when you get older, two things I want. Clean water, stay healthy with, because when you get in the shower, all that steam and stuff, you're breathing it. It's going into your system. I mean, and all that. It's pretty bad.
Well, you know, the nice thing about being born in 1957 is it won't be too long before you're able to get Medicare.
Right. And then... Then what? I still have to buy the supplementals and everything else. Yeah. So, okay, yes, I'm almost old. But to keep me healthy until I reach
until you
that,
can get Medicare, yes.
I decided clean water was the best. And my coffee is amazing. I love the coffee.
How's your hair?
I didn't shower this morning. I showered last night.
Oh, okay.
So I woke up, came to work. Can't you tell?
I just hear about all the hair, how great the hair feels after having those different water softeners.
I don't have a water softener.
You know what I mean, though.
I have water. I have filters, but I don't have any softeners. I don't have a softener in my house.
We'll just see. I'll probably give him bounce and body. That's what I'm hoping.
I think so.
I could use... My body's got a lot of bounce in it. I would like some anti-bounce from my body. I walk along, a lot of parts go bounce, bounce, bounce. And I don't need that. I just...
Were we talking about freshwater fishing?
Yes, we're talking about freshwater fishing, sponsored by certain water services.
I've been hearing about a lot of the bullheads lately. The last couple days, some guys have been doing pretty well up there on Hillsboro, 9 Mile Canal. And then even a couple guys catching them in the... King's Highway ponds over there.
And it's not just bullheads. If you get into some of the other canals, they're starting to see some of the channel catfish turning on. And I even saw a couple photos of blues posted on Facebook, which I hadn't seen the blues since spring, early in springtime. So it's a good thing to see those guys biting again. And of course, anywhere that you're going, that there are Mayan cichlids and tilapia, those fish are both tropical. They do not care about this high temperature water. They're very active. They're feeding. They have a lot more water to move around in, so you might have to look a little more.
The ones that survive the dry out
period. Survive the drought. But it's surprising how many larger fish actually made it through that and found deeper water to be in and that are out there to be catchable now.
Yeah, it's very surprising.
And beetle spins are working really well for those guys, and if you're not catching them on the beetle spin that you're using, just change out the color of the tail and keep doing that until you figure out what it is that they're looking for.
White's usually a pretty consistent one in this darker water, but even then that changes a lot. You've been out freshwater at all?
Anybody heard about any bass or anything?
I mean, I'd be targeting the spillways. All your little dams, that's where I would be if I was trying to find bass.
Yeah. Anytime those are flowing, you're going to have some bass activity there, but the bigger bass seem to have slowed down quite a bit. The fish that we're seeing now are mostly in that 1 to maybe 3 pounds range if you're lucky. Anything bigger than that has been slow. The nice thing about bass fishing is that they're active at night. The bad thing about bass fishing is that they're active at night. So that's when the mosquitoes are out there and the no-see-ums and all that fun stuff. So
all the great
stuff. If you want to slather on some DEET and go out there and do some nighttime fishing, you'll probably do pretty well. If you don't, then stick to mornings and evenings after the storms. Try not to fish when it's high and bright.
And Donald's been doing good fishing some of those spill dams
out
there by his place.
He's been catching some snook in Nine Mile.
All right, tarpon reports, guys. What do we got?
Zero today.
zero today. I couldn't find them today.
Prior to, you know, the only places I've heard about the past couple days, I mean, they have been in and around the holes of the harbor, up into the Mayaca. And then I've been hearing of oddball numbers down around Boca Grande, in particular around the phosphate dock area. And then a good peppering of them down in Pine Island Sound, closer to Captiva. You know, it's been even a few fish out on the beaches here and there, but it's like they're scattered everywhere, and I don't know if it has to do with this moon, this little front that came through, or what, but it definitely changed them up a little bit in the last several days.
They were doing very good off the west wall down by Cape Hayes up until a couple of days ago when we got all these winds.
And it's funky because the weird thing is that I've talked to people all over the coast about these fish, and you talk to the guys in Tampa Bay and they're like, oh, well, all the tarpon are down south. They're all down around Sanibel and Boca Grande. And you talk to the guys who fish Sanibel, Boca Grande. Oh, well, the tarpon, a lot of those fish moved up north. They're around Sarasota and Tampa. And you talk to the guys in Sarasota and they'll tell you one or the other. Nobody's saying we have tarpon here. They're all saying there's tarpon elsewhere.
Yeah, that's always great and aggravating.
Mm. Yeah. A lot of frustration about it right now.
They all moved to the Yucatan.
They're all in Cuba.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cuba and Louisiana.
Now, from what I'm understanding, the trick to this is to catch a ladyfish and then put it on your...
Or a catfish.
You know, your big rod, and put it out either free line or under a float and let it drift around out there, then put it in the back rod holder, throw that ladyfish out there, go up to the front of the boat, start casting a DOA bait buster. If you caught a ladyfish in the area and you're drifting and you're still around the ladyfish, chances are you're going to hook up tarpon.
Yeah, ladyfish under a float's been working the best.
Yeah, especially if you're putting them on a live.
Yes.
The bobber is definitely the better way to go, because that way you can watch them, because they do like to tangle themselves up. Plus, if you're at a slow enough drift, sometimes they're actually passing the front of the boat. And you don't realize it, so it's just nice to be able to have a good visual out there to kind of see where they're at in relation to where you are.
And another thing that I've been doing, because a lot of our tarpon fishing is going on in the harbor right now, I've been using that tieable steel eater, because our water's so dark and it's like coffee.
I was just about to ask you about that, because I've heard some guys doing the same thing, water being so dark with all the sharks around.
Well, for some odd reason, all the bigger sharks that we've been hooking up lately, they've been on live ladyfish under a float. So it's like you hook up on it, it lasts about 10 seconds, and then it's gone. So I was like, let's just try this tieable steel leader. And tarpon don't mind it at all.
Not in the dark water.
Not one bit.
Dark water, it won't make a bit of difference.
No, I mean, that's how I'm tying all my tarpon rods up lately in the harbor, is with that tieable steel leader. Doesn't make any difference at all. They're still hitting it.
And the good thing is, it is from AFW American Fishing Wire, and that means it is what it says it is. I have no idea how to spell tieable, but it'll let the red lines flow.
Now, I think knotable is the word they use.
Tieable, knotable, whatever.
I don't like tieable.
All right. I tell you what. If somebody will hand me that Ohio-based moonshine, I can get one more one with the gods here. And actually, you know, I think maybe if I had a little bit better, if I had a buzz on period, maybe I could do better with this. My fingers might loosen up. Become one with the gods. You know, I have to drive for several hours. Okay, is there anything else that we should be going off about or talking about?
Try to get out early or later in the evening, you know, when it's a little cooler. And throw stinky, like smelly baits.
Yeah, cut our baits are so dark. Unbelievable right now. Yeah, and I agree with Carl. The early morning and the evening bite's by far the best way to go. I prefer the afternoon bite this time of year, especially for the tarpon, just because there's less boat traffic out there, and you don't have to worry about getting in the way or running over or anyone blocking you.
And if you're planning to go offshore, those
so if
marine
you're going
forecasts,
over by the bar, you don't want to have people blocking you. You know, so when you work in the bar, watch out. You know, hang out with Robert, because he won't block you.
It's okay. Nice.
Yeah.
If you're going offshore, remember that marine casts are full of it.
Marine cast.
Marine forecast. I'm starting to get Frank syndrome.
See, hang around me too long.
Whatever they say for the winds, go ahead and add 5 or 10 to that, and whatever they say for the seas, just go ahead and double it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, now, when I look at land, basically, if you see the wind on the TV and it says this to this, that's usually with obstruction from land involved. When you get out on the water, you know, just add another 10 miles an hour to it.
And the marine forecast that I use is actually set up for 39 miles out of Boca Grande Pass, and even that is usually underestimated on both wind and seas.
Well, the one thing is we're back to sea breeze.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed it yesterday between 2 and 4 o'clock. You better be where you want to be, because that sea breeze, Godzilla on the roof.
Big raccoon.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Rocky, that rat you've been chasing.
Yeah. If that's the rodent, Frank is going to go hide, because that's one big rodent. I'm going home. I need a bigger boat or gun or something. Anyway, the sea breeze is created when the sun cooks up the land, and the hot air from the land getting hot starts rising up, and then the air from over the water has to follow it going up. It's like, you know, being pulled with it, and you get these winds that come from the Gulf of Mexico to shore, and that really creates some very choppy situations. It will pass, you know. Okay, if it's just a sea breeze and you look around, there's no major clouds, you see the sea breeze come up, hang out. By 4 o'clock, it's going to be dying down. It's, yeah, you're going to get a balance of temperatures, and that air is going to stop moving. By around 2 o'clock, that air is all of a sudden starts going faster and faster and faster up, and by 3 o'clock, it's cranking.
Yeah.
Literally, by 4 o'clock, it's slowing down again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, between 2 and 4, just kind of keep an eye on it, but it won't last. That's the good news. Mr. Josh, any final words of wisdom from you?
Let it be.
Let it be.
Wow. That was deep.
So
that was real deep. That was a tribute to your wife, wasn't it?
Okay. Well, I can tell you, boys and girls, this has been the Area Fishing Report. Let's see. And these guys, I think, are so glad to finally hear that music, because it has been an hour and 41 minutes ago we started this nonsense. So anyway, the Area Fishing Report. Fish and Frank in the chair here. We have Robert in the chair across from me, and in the guest spot was Captain Carl from KB Backcountry Charters. And then in the hot shot, the hot seat, that is Josh, the fish coach. You can hire Josh to go out with you while you're fishing, whether it's from a pier and in a boat or wherever you'd like. He'll teach you about fishing, knots, throwing cast nets, GPSs, all kinds of stuff. Josh will help you learn your fishing. Or you know him as the host of Radio Waterline on 92.9 Kix Country, 7 to 9 o'clock in the morning, or as the publisher of the Waterline magazine.
He's a man of many hats.
Or if you just like
Don't forget
that.
Bait Dipper on Saturday afternoons.
I was going to say, if you just want to come in and chat with Josh, stop in at Fish and Frank's on Saturday afternoons, and you can talk to Josh. And this is me again, and we gone. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.